Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we are using for our text, "Know ye not," Paul wrote, "that you are the temple of God." Now, there are analogies to us. We are called the body of Christ, but we are called the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think that new covenant Christians, the new man, the new species, we don't understand what a wonder it is to be called the temple of God. And so we're looking a little bit back at what the tabernacle and what the temple meant. And we looked on Monday, if you want to go on the archives, we looked at the tabernacle, how Moses was given the pattern. God said, "I want to dwell among you." Moses finished the work, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So much so that Moses could not even enter. And then we've studied the temple, that Jerusalem, that God gave the pattern to David and Solomon built, and how that when Solomon finished the work, the glory of the Lord moved into the place, the Shekhinah. Now, without the glory of the Lord, the tabernacle is just, and the temple are just buildings, earthly buildings. What made them was the presence of God. And what makes us and makes us different from the world is the presence of God. The presence of God that lives in us. Now, David, oh, how appreciative of the temple he was. And one of the adjectives that's always used with temple is holy, H-O-L-Y. Holy, in its simplified meaning, is separated. You can have, let's say you have a bouquet of roses, and you take one rose out and you give to your mother. Now, maybe the bouquet of roses is going to sit on the dining room table, and you take one out and you give it to your mother to pin on her dress. Well, that one is separated from the others. It is holy unto her. That's what holy means. You take it out of something and you put it into something else. We are separated out of the world and we are separated unto God. So that temple on the top of that hill, he told them, "This is where I'm going to put my name, and it is holy." David in the Psalms, they knew and recognized that the temple is a holy place. It's for God. Psalm 5:7, David writes, or sang, and we read it. "But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you." And so, there is a holiness about the God who is in you, and there should be in your life a reverence for him. You should be conscious that wherever you go, he goes. And whatever you watch, he's inside you. And if you're watching, let's say, an R-rated movie, you took him into that movie with you. And he's inside you. Well, does this mean you're not going to go to heaven because you went to an R-rated movie? No. But I'll tell you about some of those things. I don't go to movies much. I do pick and choose, you know. And today there are more that you can go to that are some of the really good ones. Brandon, help me. What are some of those ones? Remember the Titans? Is that one of them? And what are some of the other? Courage and other things that are being made right now. But there was a time, and there are... Yes, that you should not. There's some things you should not go to. And if you go and something like a scene happens to come across, it'll take you a while to get that out of your mind, to get it cleansed out of your temple. Now, will you go to heaven if you went there? Yes, if you died and dropped dead in the movie, you will go to heaven. But will you be powerful? That's the thing. We've made too much compromise that has caused us to be powerless, and the world not to see him in our temples. Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord is in his holy temple. It's set apart. Psalm 27:4. Oh, that's one of my favorite psalms. I could teach you the whole thing right now and just get lost in it for a week. But David had one desire. And he said, one thing I've asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Did he mean that he just wanted to go down to the temple, lock himself up like a monk? No. He meant that temple of God, the presence of God. He meant not only the presence on the earth, but the presence in the heavens. He wanted to live in the presence of God. Psalm 29:9. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare, and in his temple everything says, glory. Hallelujah. Now, they worshiped the Lord and they honored the temple and they did all the things that he ordered to be done there for a while. And then there's an enemy. There's an enemy of God. And he didn't like this nation that God had pointed out for himself. And he didn't like it that they had a place, a temple, where they could commune with God. And he tempted them to other gods. The Lord told them, don't have anything to do with idols. Don't have anything to do with other gods. Separate yourself. You're to be a holy, separated nation. So we know that after a while, they followed after idols. And God sent them prophet after prophet after prophet. And then they even began to marry. Solomon even married foreign wives and set up worship for places for his foreign wives. And they defiled the area of the temple. You can defile a holy temple. So Psalm 79:1 speaks of the nations, and it says, O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. In Ezekiel 8:16, Ezekiel is quite a book. I've done a lot of study in the book of Ezekiel. And one of the things that people don't understand about the book of Ezekiel is how much it involves the temple. Now, Ezekiel, when they started going wrong, God sent them some prophets at first temple time. He sent them Isaiah, he sent them Jeremiah, and he sent them Ezekiel and Daniel. Daniel was just a young man carried off over into the captivity in Babylon. Isaiah, he really cautioned them. He himself had seen the heavenly temple. It says in Isaiah 6:1, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke, the holy presence of God. And Isaiah warned the people, as God told him to do, that they had to change. Or they were going to lose their temple. And they did. In Ezekiel went with them into the captivity. He went with them over into Babylon. And the Lord showed him what happened in that temple. In Ezekiel 8:16, It says, "Then the Lord brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the entrance to the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were prostrating themselves eastward toward the sun. Inside the temple itself, they were worshiping the sun. They turned their backs to God. They passed wind," even literally, "in the face of God. And those things were an abomination. They defiled the temple." So then God took Ezekiel in the spirit, and he showed him the Shekinah left the temple. Now, we've talked about when the Shekinah glory came into the tabernacle, when Shekinah glory came into the temple in Chronicles. But now we're going to look at it when it leaves. And he was the witness of it leaving. If the Shekinah glory hadn't left the temple, Babylon could never have destroyed it. But the glory was gone, the presence was gone, and so it was just a building. Ezekiel 8:16. "Then he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the entrance to the temple of the Lord, between the porch," well, we read that about the 25 men. But then, Ezekiel 9:3, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub." See, the glory of the Lord was over the mercy seat and the cherubim. "And he saw that glory go up from the cherub, which it had been to the threshold of the temple." It went out the door. The glory left and it went to the threshold. "And he called to the man clothed in linen at whose loins was the writing case." Ezekiel 10:3. "Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory." Chapter 10, verse 18. "Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple." And we're going to find out that in the book of Ezekiel, you can trace the glory of the Lord, and it eventually moves out of the temple and goes across the Kidron Valley and goes to the Mount of Olives. From the Mount of Olives, Ezekiel watches it lift up into the heavens. So the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, left the temple. It was never in the second temple. They built the second temple, but it was never in the second temple. And in chapter 40 on of Ezekiel, Ezekiel prophesies that there will be another temple built. This will be the millennial temple. And when that temple is built, then he goes on chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter of all the details. And then when it's finished, the glory of the Lord will come down to the Mount of Olives, and it will come back again. There will be a presentation. There will be a manifestation of the glory of the Lord in the millennial temple. Well, think about it, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be coming and putting his feet on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to be the King of glory on the earth during the millennium. But I wanted to bring out to you today that they defile the temple. And the temple is not to be defiled. The temple is to be treated in a special way, and we're going to look at that when we come back tomorrow. The Holy Ghost. We hope you can be with us for our Holy Ghost seminar that we're having right out here at Prayer Mountain with Brother Joe Jordan and Brother Ron Smith, the 6th through the 5th, that's the 6th month, and the 12th day of June until the 15th day of June. I'll be with them. We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to be teaching along with them. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 to find out how you can register or how you can watch online. This is Billy Brim saying to you, oh, may the glory of the Lord live big in you today, and you be the walking, talking temple of God. Shalom, shalom.